God's been good. I've got two stories I want to share. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, you know, every year we publish a magazine at the end of the year for the last two since I've been director. I've wanted to publish something because the eye affects the heart. And so what I've done from Thanksgiving to Christmas, the last 2 years, I've gone back and I've talked to every missionary we sent Bibles to and asked them for pictures. And I've asked them for a little insert or a little blurb about that container or what that container did. I got off the phone with a missionary to Korea this year. And he said, "Brother Lamont, I just met a man that I need to tell you about." He says, "I was witnessing to him, and when I saw him, I told him about Jesus." And he asked me, he said, "Are you the missionary passing out Bibles, sending Bibles over to North Korea?" He says, "We are." And he says, "I want to let you know that right now, every Christian in North Korea is looking to the skies, watching for that care package that you're sending over there with the Word of God in it." And you know, you hear stories like that, you see pictures like that of people holding the Word of God for the first time. It never gets old. This Bible that I have in my hand, the missionary that we did this for, changed my life forever. You understand, have you ever heard of the five missionaries that went into the Aki Indians there in Ecuador and got killed, speared? They got a movie about it, Through Gates of Splendor. When that happened in the 50s, a buff missionary friend, he was in a construction work job, and he was on break, and somebody handed him the newspaper that was showing five of them floating in the water there with some of them spears in their back. And he was looking at that newspaper, and he looked at it, and the Holy Spirit said to him, he says, "Would you do that for me?" And so he told his boss he was turning in his notice, went home, told his wife he turned in his notice, and he said, his wife looked at him and said, "Okay, now what are you going to do?" He said, "I don't know, but we're going to do something for God." And so he started traveling around, and the Lord laid this Suriname on his heart, and so he started researching the people of Suriname, and he came across a group of people called the Wayanas. And so he started praying about that, and God was pushing him to go there. And so he go to these mission boards and tell him he's going to go to the Wayana Indians. And he said every mission board told him, he said, "That's a small group. Go somewhere else." And he said, "This is where God's calling me." So he said him and his wife and two kids left America to Suriname with $10 a month support, and the only person they supported them was a family member. He says, we get to Suriname and we're asking, and say, "Hey, where are the Wayana Indians?" And he said, for about 2 weeks, nobody would tell us where they are, and they'd say, "You don't want to go there." He said, we finally found out where they were. We camped outside of their village, and he said, we did not find out until 10 years later that they took tribal counsel to kill us and eat us that very night. He said, what we figure has changed their mind and in that tribal council, one man stood up and said, "What are they here for? This ain't normal." He said, "He's not here for our women." He says, "He's got one." He said, "They're not here for our kids." He said, "He's got two." He said, "Why don't we find out what they want before we kill them and eat them?" And so they said they agreed to do that. And almost 50 years to the date, we were able to put the Word of God into their own language. The beautiful thing about this is there's so many stories I can tell about it. This is a whole Bible for the Wayana Indians, and it took them almost 50 years, but they had to teach them how to read and write their own language. There wasn't no written form, and so they say it was an amazing thing when they were teaching them, when they were translating their Bible, and they had to use a phonics program and listen for sounds and write their words down and start trying to figure out how what that word meant when they write it down with the people there. And so they were doing that, so they had to develop a written language while trying to translate their Bible into their language. And he said, so when I was teaching them how to read, it was kind of an amazing thing. I'd write something down in their language, and so they would go and they like, okay, they weren't being able to read it yet, so they would go to the missionary's wife and they would look at them and said, make paper talk. And so that she was able to read them what her husband wrote down on the paper. And you know, and when you think about that, that's exactly what we want to do. We want to make the paper talk. How can they hear without a preacher? But how can they go unless they be sent? I just want to get the missionaries the Word of God so they can know the God that I know. There's a lost and dying world out there that needs Jesus. If you do have any questions, feel free to ask. I love answering questions, and there is no dumb question. I could get into what we print in our standards, but if you want to know that, please don't hesitate to holler at us. We are out of Victory Baptist Church there in Shelbyville, Tennessee. We print King James only, exclusively in the English language, and the other 59 to 60 languages, we print Hebrew and Greek Masoretic. Hebrew Masoretic and the Greek Textus Receptus. The same line that this book came from. So if you got any questions, please feel free. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 4. You know, all my life growing up, I'm kind of always transparent behind the pulpit. Probably need to stop. You'll know, you like me or you don't. All my life growing up, I grew up in a Christian home. I was the youngest of four, and my family, we'd always been in the printing ministry, and my mom tried to do her best to raise me right, and I remember all my life, my mom would say, Shannon, run through your brain what comes out your mouth. I don't know about you, but for years, I never understood that. I've got ADHD. I mean, I literally, my brain don't kick in gear as fast as my mouth. So I've always struggled with it. I've never been very rebellious, but I've always had problems with my mouth. And so when she says that, and she says, run through your brain what comes out your mouth, and she was trying to help me to just slow down just a little bit and make sure that it is needed or necessary to be said. Then after I became a teenager, she would say, Shannon, I want you to do something for me. What's that, Mom? And she says, I want you to run it through your brain before it comes out your mouth, but I want you to put it through this filter. If it's not kind, if it's not necessary, and if it's not true, you don't have to say it. And there's a lot of truth to that if you think about it. And I was reading Matthew chapter 4 here, and I started thinking about everything my mom had been trying to teach me right here. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Can I stop there for a second? Have you ever fasted for 40 days? I fasted for 3, and I'm telling you, I understand why Jesus looked at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said, don't be like the Pharisees and just disfigure their face. I mean, I don't know about you. When you get into that third day, it's like you get hangry. I mean, you don't want nobody to talk to you. You want to snap somebody's head off, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things, and I mean, it's hard to know. That's just like, okay, I got to be happy, but I'm starving to death. But you understand that. But Jesus right here did 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, it was an amazing thing. I've tried going to 10, but somewhere around the 6th and 7th day, I always break. It's harder to do than it sounds. And he went 40 days. And verse 3 says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. I've got to stop there and point out something that I believe most everybody's probably noticed, that the only other time in the Word of God that the devil puts a question mark on God is in Genesis, hath God really said? That's the theme of the devil. He tries to question mark God and who God is in your life. And that's why he's even looking at the Son of God, knowing good and well who the Son of God is, and saying, if thou be the Son of God. You know, if that was a human God right there, I know he was 100% human right there, but he was also 100% God. Most of us would have said, we'll show you we're God. And you see that he is at the weakest point of his life, humanity-wise. He's been fasting for 40 days, but he's there, right there, and the devil comes to him and it says, hey, if thou be the Son of God. Verse 4, he says, but if he answered and said, it is written. I love that. Man, he just says, it is written. He takes him to the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad he didn't say man should not have bread. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. I love bread. I'm part Italian. My wife's part Italian. I don't know if y'all got a restaurant by the name of Carrabba's up here, but we like to go to Carrabba's, and when you sit down, they bring you a loaf of bread and some dipping oil and all that, and we'll eat that bread, and all four of us ask for our own loaf, and we'll eat that loaf, each one of us, then we'll get our meal, and I mean, we have a good time, and I'm telling you, we like bread. He doesn't say you can't have it. He just says there's something a little more important. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I got to reading that, and you know there's two more temptations there, and he says it is written both all three times. But I want you to see something tonight. I'm going to preach on five words, and we're going to go through Genesis to Revelations in a hurry. If you listen fast, I will preach fast. This is my deal. The first word I want you to see is the spoken word of God. You can understand, there's five words that I want us to understand. He said, live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How do you cover all those? I think God gave me five words that covers the majority of that. I see the spoken word of God in Genesis right there in creation. You'll see that God spoke everything into existence. He stepped out on nothing and created everything. He said, let there be, and there was. I love the fact that he did not create man by speaking man into existence. The Bible says he formed man out of the dust of the earth. So that tells me that he had a relationship with man that he did not have with everything else. But you can also see that relationship. He spoke to Adam. Adam understood God. God understood Adam. You can see that through the genealogy of Adam there. You see Cain and Abel and Seth. You see that and so forth. You see that with Abraham. You see that with Noah. You see that with the Old Testament prophets. You see that throughout the Old Testament, the relationship that the spoken word of God had. Let's go to the second word, the living word. I love this because when you get to Matthew, guess what? The living word arrives on the scene. You see the living word of God do so much in his ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I love how John ends it. He said, there's so much that he did that the world could not contain it if it was written down. I mean, what a powerful living word that was. You see, when the spoken word was spoken, there was life. You see, when the living word speaks, there's life. Because when he speaks to Lazarus, the dead rise. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when I read the Bible, I make Jesus Southern. I'm sorry, that's the way I do it. And I said, you know, I wonder what would have happened if he'd have said, hey you, get out of that grave. I believe wholeheartedly that everybody that had been dead before Lazarus would have came out of that grave. That's why Jesus had to Lazarus come forth. You see the power of the living word. When the deaf are healed and when the lame walk, you see that throughout the entire Gospels of Jesus Christ, how the living word speaks and there's life. Man, I love everything about the living Word when He speaks. That's why He was moved with compassion. But let's go to the cross for just a second. He says seven things that change the world. I want to cover two of them real quickly. What about, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? You know, you see Him hanging on the cross between life and death, and I understand no man take his life, but He lay it down. But you understand that He said some things to help us out Christianity-wise. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because each and every one of us was the reason He was right there. He was being nailed to that tree because of mine and your sins. He was being mocked and ridiculed. He was abused and used right there on that day, in that crucifixion day. Why? Because of me and you. But yet He stops it to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's go to the last thing He says before He gives up the ghost. He says, it is finished. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that's in the book. Because we're living in a day and age that I know a lot of people don't believe it's finished. And when He said it is finished, He said it is finished. It means this is the last blood He'll ever need. It means Calvinism's song, Jesus loves you, not you, not you, cannot be true because Jesus died for you. And so when you see these words right there shaping the entire world by the living Word, when the living Word speaks, there's life. Let's go to the third word, the written Word. How many of you understand that that book that's in your lap is the most important book that you'll ever own? But when the written Word speaks, there's life. You know, I love it when out and about and I'm witnessing to somebody. We had something amazing happen to us not too long ago. I'm pulling into Shelbyville and our assistant pastor calls and he said, Brother Lamont, are you in town? I said, we just pulled in. He said, would you be available to teach our chapel on Thursday? I said, love to. And so we got there, we preached our chapel, the assistant pastor and pastor took us out to lunch to Chili's there and we're witnessing to our waiter and we get up and we leave and on Friday I needed to get out of town to go somewhere. My mother-in-law, Tiffany's mom, calls and says, hey, I'd like to see you before you leave. Can I take you to lunch? And we say, well, we like to eat, so we'll be glad to meet you anywhere you want to. She said, how about meet me at Legends at 11:30? It's the only restaurant in Shelbyville that you can get a nice meal. And so we said, sure. We pull in at Legends at 11:30, and they say there's an hour and a half wait. I go, there ain't that many people in Shelbyville. So we couldn't stay because we needed to get to the on the road. And so we go across the street to Zaxby's. It was a downgrade, but Zaxby's still pretty good. We're standing there right after we ordered our food. We're just standing there waiting on our order. And a young lady walks in and looks at my wife. And my wife's looking at her. I'm seeing this and I'm going, okay, what's going on here? And the young lady looks at my wife again and says, you're so beautiful. I go, well, I know, that's why I married her. And my wife looks at her and says, I was thinking the same thing about you. And she looked at my wife and she says, were you at Chili's yesterday? She said, we were. She says, I work at Chili's and I heard y'all talking to your waiter about Jesus Christ and I wanted to get over to see y'all before y'all left, but I wasn't able to make it. And she said, I've been wanting to know more about Jesus Christ. How do I know Jesus Christ? And so she sat down with her and she talked to her throughout the entire lunch. I ate dinner with my mother-in-law. I get all the crowns and glory because of this one. And so you see that, and I'm telling you, and I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And she comes over there and she says, hey, I want to introduce you to this lady. She just got saved. It gets better. we leave and we're headed down the road on Friday. She calls my wife on Saturday and said, where did you say you went to church? And we told her we went to Victory Church, Victory Baptist Church, right there from where we met you. She said, I'll be there Sunday morning. And she went. She calls my wife on Sunday afternoon and she says, I hear y'all got church on Sunday night. I said, I'll be there. And she went. I told my wife, I said, you need to call her and tell her this ain't how Christianity works. Then she calls her on Monday and she says, I heard that you got church on Wednesday night. She said, I'll be there. And she did. And man, we're sitting here listening to this lady just talk about her life and what God saved her out of. And I mean, she's 17 years of age, and I'm telling you, it's the most amazing transformation. When the written word speaks, there's life. And when she calls my wife after Wednesday and she says, when are y'all going to be back? And my wife says, it's 3 more weeks. She says, I'm not waiting on you. I'm getting baptized. And she did. We got a video of her that next Sunday getting baptized and the biggest grin on her face. And that young lady got saved, and she's brought her whole family to church, and she's brought her fiancé to church. I had the privilege of leading her fiancé to the Lord with my wife in our living room, and I had the privilege. I didn't volunteer, but on Sunday morning I was there, and he says, I hear you can baptize. Will you baptize me? I said, sure. See, when the written word speaks, there's life. When the written word speaks, chains fall to the ground. The fourth word I want you to see real quickly is the silent word. You got to understand that we're living in a generation where nobody really wants to hear the truth of the God. Man, I witnessed unto a lady the other day, and I was telling her, I said, hey, do you go to church anywhere? And she goes, nope. I said, can I invite you to church? She went, nope. You understand that we're going to run into things like that, but we've got to keep trying. That's why he says, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to go in. You don't have to go through much history of the Bible, and you're going to run into what we call the Dark Ages. And it's a period of time between 400 to around the 1500s when we started coming out that the world, the Catholic Church, literally plunged, hid away the true Word of God and produced their religion and their Bible. And it plunged the world into the dark ages because they passed laws that you can't own the Word of God or you can't read the Word of God. You have to come to them to be able to understand, or we'll tell you what God said. It's the first part of what you'll see where people learn that they can control the knowledge, they can control the people. That's why we went into the dark ages. Between those 1,100 years, almost 50 million Christians are estimated to have been killed by religion. People burned at the stake, people filleted, people wrapped, people. There's so many ways that they killed people during this period of time because they wanted to strike fear in your heart that if you were caught with anything like that, you were going to die because they didn't want you to have it. We look at that and go, wow, for 15, almost 1,100 years, the people died in their darkness. Why? Because it wasn't available. It wasn't accessible. But that's saying here in today's time, they say that more Christians are dying today because of their faith than they did in any times past. Why? Because people are still hungry and wanting the Word of God, but yet so many people are still living in a silent word. They don't have access to it. Fifth and final word I want you to see real quickly is the final word. How many of you realize that if you read the Bible in Revelations, you can break the entire population down to two categories? Lost and saved. You see, the Word of God tells you, it says, depart from me, I never knew you. It talks about life and it talks about death. The death is the second separation. It's death without Jesus Christ. You're eternally separated. Then it tells you that you're cast into the lake of fire. I mean, these are things that it talks about. Then it tells you in Luke, it says, and the rich man being in hell, lifting up his eyes, being in torments. I mean, you can think about all this and you see, man, the final word for the lost is, depart from me, I never knew you. That's a sobering thought to me. That's why I try to encourage my family to do everything they can to reach somebody while they still can. I mean, we've got breath in our lungs. They got breath in their lungs. Somebody needs to tell them about Jesus Christ. I understand we're going to get rejected. I remember the first time that I went door knocking with my wife and I knocked on a door and I was talking to somebody about football and Jesus, and they were all saying, oh yeah, I'm saved. But the first time I invited, I said, hey, I'd like to invite you to the church here in town. And they go, slam. Me being the personality I am, I went forward, knocked on the door again. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, somebody needs to tell him. She said, tell him what? I said, if you're saved, you ought to be appreciated that somebody's spending their Saturday out trying to make sure that you're not going to die and go to a sinner's hell. And she says, that's not how it works. I said, I don't care how it works. Somebody needs to tell him. If he's saved, he ought to tell somebody about it. So you see the silent word. You see the final word. That there's going to be a lot of people that are hearing those, depart from me, I never knew you, if we do not break the silent word. See, you've got over here on the other side, you've got the saved, that our final words can be, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, I like that thought because I like it when my dad calls me every now and then and he just wants to say, he says, son, I just want to tell you I'm proud of you. You know, I don't know about you, but that does something to me. You know, I grew up in the home. I've disappointed him plenty of times. And I'm telling you that for my dad to call me and say, son, I'm proud of you. I mean, it energizes my battery. It makes me want to charge hell wide open with a water gun and say, I just want to make a difference in somebody's life. But on this other side, we have the lost and dying world that is a vast number of people that are plunging into a sinner's hell, but yet we ignore it like it does not exist. We allow them to live in that silent word while we're okay. We're living in that. We know the final word. But can I ask you this in closing? How many of you know somebody, love somebody, that are going to hear those final words, depart from me? I never knew you. I had a cousin that was sitting around a dinner table with me one time. My family was with me, and I asked her, I said, Kim, if you died today, where would you go? She flopped her head around, and first time I ever been introduced to the word, I didn't even know what it meant. I just didn't like the sound of it. She said, have you not heard? I'm agnostic. I go, not in my family, you weren't. I kept telling her about Jesus, and she wrote my mom a nice email complaining about her son, and I asked my mom, I said, can I reply to it? And she said, no, you've done enough. I'll take it from there. I know my mom didn't pull any punches. That's why I get my charming personality from. But you understand that there is a multitude of people living in a silent word. That if we don't break it, they're going to hear those final words. Depart from me. I never knew you. And in Revelations it says, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. I don't know about you, but I've been burned before. It's not something I would want somebody to live throughout all eternity. In the lake of fire, in the bottomless pit. I like roller coasters, but I like getting off of them. And you see the whole picture here, right here, is why God called out a people to be the church, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But we got to let God do what He wants to do and what He needs to do. Because we see the spoken word, we see the living word, we see the written word. And when those three things speak, there's life. That's why I love the word of God. Like this morning, Isaiah 55:11. His word will not return unto Him void. You know, I can send it to some place that I never think that I'm going to ever see fruit. But it's where God wants it to be and where God needs it to be. He can see fruit as a result of that. And that's fruit that abounds to my account. That's fruit that abounds to your account. And so we need to break the silent word before it's too late. I don't want anybody to hear that final word. Depart from me. I never knew you. At that point, it's too late. There's nothing we can do. Have you ever read the Bible where it talks about God's going to wipe all our tears away? You know, I've always wondered why there's going to be tears in heaven until He does that. And the only thing I can think of is we're going to remember our loved ones. We're going to remember all our opportunities that God set us up to witness for Him. We're going to see all those people that would have listened to us. And of course, we're going to be sad. And say, we should have done more. We could have given more, we could have done more, we could have said more. We need to break that silent word before they hear those final words. Pastor, would you come?